Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Esperanza Ray, your host with New Consciousness, New World. We have a wonderful show awaiting you tonight. I have two wonderful guests. Just briefly, before I introduce them to you, I would like to let you know that in a couple of weeks, we will be having, actually, in the 16th of September, we will be having also Dr. Pearl talking about his new book, Salomon Speaks. So I will talk to you guys more about that in the next couple of shows. For now, I want to introduce Dr. Hertok, James Hertok, and Desiree Hertok. Since you're both doctors, it's going to be interesting when you guys know who I'm talking to, because I'll just say both of you.
That's fine. You can take it from the top with either JJ, which I prefer to be called,
okay,
or Desiree.
JJ.
You know, we're very informal as we do this all the time worldwide.
Or some people just say Doctors Hertok, put it together. But it's great to be on the air with you, Esperanza. We appreciate your show and allowing us to bring out a higher message.
Oh, I enjoy having you. You know, I've been with Future Sciences as a student for several years, so it's a pleasure to have you all on the show. Not only that, but I know other members of the of your academy are listening and are waiting to see what wonderful things you have to share with us.
Right, and I think we talked about the fact of, you know, having people call in towards the end of the program and really voicing some questions, and, you know, we can get into some deeper discussion because of your background. And, of course, you know, people shouldn't be concerned about calling in. It's great to hear from people and hear what their questions and interests are.
Especially at this time of cosmic change going on, planetary issues of unity are so important. So we appreciate you being really a broadcaster who realizes the consciousness shift that humanity is going through and what we need to focus on as vehicles of change, but also as catalysts of a whole new creation that we are able to connect with in a very deep and profound way.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to share with the audience, you can go on BBS Radio Station 1 and you can get all the numbers, but just briefly I'll mention a couple of them. You can call toll-free at 888-627-6008 later on and ask questions. I'm sure both Doctors Hertok will be happy to answer any questions. There's also another line, 530-327-7602. So both those lines are available for you to call. If you need more lines, like I said, just go on to BBS Radio Station 1, and we are live, so the numbers will automatically show up for you. One of the questions I wanted to ask both of you is, obviously, I know a little bit about your work. However, I'd like to understand how you got started, and both of you, how you met and realized that you had a common purpose and a common goal. What events in your life made you realize these things?
Well, first of all, this was a very long journey of acquiring abilities, of working with the ancient Near Eastern languages, of looking at different traditions of intellectual history, of basically developing the tools in the social sciences, which include anthropology, archaeology, just the whole megillah of having many, many opportunities to study, to learn, to develop really the mental flexibility, and also the profound sense of prayer that I felt was so important early on, and my ability to look at the Eastern traditions, the Buddhistic, the non-Buddhistic, the Tibetan, as well as the Judaic, the Christian, the Near Eastern, in a deeper sense of participation. And with that, I was able to teach at several universities very early in my life, in my 20s. And Desiree, fortunately, came into my life as one of my students. Mm-hmm. And I'll let her speak for herself. But it was the combination of prayer, of being able to experience many higher levels of what I will call paraphysical awareness and contact through divine language and music that allowed us to see that there was a orchestration here that was, so to speak, angelically prepared for us. Enoch, quote-unquote, appeared and asked me if I was ready for this experience. I'm speaking of Enoch as an angelic scribe, a figure of great renown in the great text of antiquity. And I said mentally that I was, and from that point a morphogenic door was opened to me. I was literally biolocated into another dimension, and history was made at that particular point for me, because this was recorded later by students of mine who had cameras filming the light that was around my body manifesting as a result of this higher consciousness experience.
Right, right. And so, you know, many people are talking about, you know, Merkaba experiences. And this is traditionally, if you go back to the real ancient Merkaba experiences, means really not just having a meditative experience, but like Dr. Hertak, where really a power, a light, an entity appears, and you're literally taken off the planet. And then he was taken by Enoch to a certain point, and then by Metatron to even higher levels of reality, and he saw things about the past, present, and future of this planet. And then he was able to see these scenarios, so it's easy when you actually see and experience this to come back and write about it. And I was his student at the time. I had a little bit of a background growing up in the Florida area connected with the Bermuda Triangle and some interest in what was going on down there.
But also Desiree was acquainted with Judaic literature and arts, science, and so she came from a family of medical experts.
But anyway, with that said, when he came back from his experience, it was totally a different reality that he was able to talk about. And some people, some of the students were very enthralled. In fact, he ended up with more students in his classrooms, but a few really said, oh, this is too much for me. Because, you know, you have to realize this took place in 73, and it, for many people, they didn't even know what a pyramid was. And what we're saying right now is the fact that even though it's a book that was written in the 70s from his experience, basically it's the new normal. And this is the latest stuff coming out right now has been written about in the Keys of Enoch, and that's what's so exciting at this time.
Right. Now, you mentioned something very important, and I know that some people understand what you're talking about, but could you explain a little bit briefly what the Merkaba is? Because there might be people on who are listening that don't know what that is.
Well, the pronunciation will vary from tradition, but it's basically pronounced Merkaba, the accent on the first syllable, which means that this is connected with the prophetic traditions of those scholars and mystics who in higher states of prayer and meditation had not only contact with the higher world, but the vehicle known as the chariot throne or the divine vehicle would manifest itself with a type of revelatory experience of knowledge. There would be a sense of deep appreciation and, so we say, brilliant awareness that this was a type of divine teaching that was being conveyed. And the vehicle form in most instances would be described in terms of great light, great music, not to be identified with, as many of the popular seminars have indicated, the lower phenomena of what we call extraterrestrial technology. So meditation experiences were necessary. Prayer was necessary in a profound sense of preparation.
But if we want to go a little bit further on this, because it's a great question, I think it's a popular term that many people use, we take it a little bit beyond the norm. Many people just feel it's a personal experience that someone has while meditating, but in actuality, Merkaba is a Hebrew word for vehicle. And it's really a vehicle that helps you to transcend. And the Keys of Enoch talk about it. I'll just read one sentence in Key 301. Merkaba revolves and goes and rises under the heaven or brightness of the next universe. And what's the key there is that it can go from this reality, this universe, the local planets, even the stars connected with Orion, to other universes or other realms. And we talk about a multiverse, which means multiple universes that exist in the cosmos. This is the latest in science. And the idea is the fact that there's this realm, which is huge, in this huge universe that we're living in, but the Merkaba can actually get out of this universe and go to other universes. This is something that science says is impossible, but this is what's unique about the Merkaba vehicle.
And I would say to the audience around the world that we have this precious a film document called Merkaba, Voyage of a Starseed, that allows the participant to actually see the dimensional openings and experience really the whole Olympic of the mind going through the different geometric stages of evolution. So for those of you who are not aware of this award-winning film documentary we did with animation about it's been about 17 years now, please go to our website, keysofenoch.org, and scroll down to videos-DVDs, and I think this will be a prize teaching tool for many of you who are on the stage of a major change in recognizing that science and spirituality are coming closer together, and this is the importance of our work with the Academy for Future Science to show the common ground where the spiritual and the scientific do merge, and the people, even from a secular background, without any religious or spiritual orientation, can begin to grasp that there are objects in space of higher dimensional realities that we must know more about.
But if I can take it just one more step, the Keys of Enoch, the whole cosmology talks about, as I mentioned, not just this realm, but these other cosmic realms that are parallel universes, multiple universes, and even greater, higher divine universes, so that we live in what's called a sun, S-O-N universe, meaning like an offshoot universe. And beyond, before that, before the singularity, as scientists are now calling it, there was actually other universes. And this is the latest, really. If you look at astrophysics and cosmology, what do you find? That there was probably a universe before ours, and that when our universe was created, other universes were created. If you said this in the 1970s, when Dr. Hertak came out with it, they would have thought you were nuts. I mean, they thought even in the 80s you were nuts if you said that there were planets going around suns.
Exoplanetary systems.
Yeah, they thought that was impossible, which is ridiculous, of course. Most people realize that it was just, you know, the limitations of science. And now we take it for granted there's, you know, as many planets out there, or many more planets for almost every star system that we see.
So the Keys of Enoch tell us that we're going beyond the beginning and the end of our local universe. We're beginning to recognize that there are many cosmic cultures, there are many other worlds, and we have to redefine the language of science, including what we call the universe, the planetary system, scientific truth, scientific method, and even spiritual awareness. All of this is going to change as we become more and more aware of millions of people throughout the world who, in their own way, are waking up to the fact that there is the divine spark speaking and working and invigorating life into the greater life.
Right. One of the things I wanted to, I know that you have a number of books that you've written, along with papers and all kinds of wonderful information out there. However, one of your greatest books is obviously The Keys of Enoch, and I know there's a connection between the keys and Egypt, so would you like to also go a little bit into that and explain to our listeners how that relates, how the two are related?
Well, I think I'll start with the ideas that Dr. Hertak in the 1970s, when he wrote the book, mentioned the alignment of the Great Pyramid with Orion. And, of course, this was popularized later with Robert Bavel.
And his co-writer,
Adrian Gilbert.
So the book, shall we say, sets the stage for the fact that the Great Pyramid is a type of astrophysical computer connected with the three stars in the Belt of Orion. The Keys of Enoch mention specifically that there are names specifically that will be found of ancient rulers along the Nile. This has been validated by the work of Professor Kenneth Weeks and others who are working with what is called the K-5 discovery, or K-5 discovery in the late 1990s, which represents probably the largest underground museum in the history of the planet, with the various names of the sons of Ramses II, seen by some to be the Pharaoh of the Exodus. All of these subtle details were not known to Egyptologists, but they're mentioned in the keys. And so the keys interweave sort of a story, very much like a crossword puzzle, but it's a biological code as well as a philosophical code as well as a cosmological code, forcing the scientists to put their ideas together with the spiritual thinkers, the great minds of our history, and recognizing that we are part of a divine plan, and the keys of Enoch represent one aspect of that divine plan, and getting people to bootstrap a whole new type of knowledge of recognizing that we participate physically as well as collectively with a change that is going on that's going to put our planetary humanity face-to-face in communication with other levels of cosmic intelligence.
Right. So one of the things we experienced when we were in Egypt, and we've gone there many, many times, but in the late 90s, we were there with a team and connected with our associate Boris Said, and we went down and actually discovered the tomb of Osiris. Now, we didn't call it the tomb of Osiris. This was called by Zahi Hawass because it's actually 100 feet or 30 meters deep in the center of the Giza Plateau. And we found this really amazing. And even though some people had known these shafts were there before, we actually found the tomb itself. We found the lid of the tomb, and then Zahi came in because we only had permission to do some preliminary discoveries with the shovels. The Egyptians like to do that part, and then found the tomb underneath this. So this is really exciting. But on our YouTube site, which is Keys of Enoch TV, and one of the things we do have is some of the when in the 70s, actually they tried to reconstruct the pyramid.
The Japanese,
Nippon Corporation, and they tried with preliminary tools, like very basic tools, and they ended up not being able to cut the blocks. They couldn't put it on a barge to carry it across the Nile. They couldn't lift it up very high using primitive tools. So what they had to do is they had to use modern tools. So what we're saying is that many of these things that we're finding in Egypt seem to have a connection to other levels of intelligence. If not physically building it, then at least teaching or showing how some of this could be built. So we do believe, and this is something that the Keys of Enoch talk about, that some of this information was really programmed by a higher level of intelligence connected with Orion, connected with these higher levels of intelligence that were here to help us to start civilization as we know it.
Right.
To put it simply, the Great Pyramid is the Bible in stone, and there is a history there in Egypt that ties together all of the cultures of the Near East that once understood and revealed can bring peoples, particularly the children of Abraham, together into balance and accord. So our work basically is to reach out and use archaeology and anthropology and music as teaching tools to show people we have a much higher ancestry of greater civilizations that were here on the planet in the sense of knowing things that we don't know in terms of architectural wonders and astrophysical distances and measurements. But we need to document our assertions, our declarations, and this is why we are working with serious archaeologists, linguists, musicologists from all over the world who are putting the Keys of Enoch to a test. And after 40-some years now, we've found that large numbers of the keys have been shown to be very, very important and actually accurate in terms of finding unknown areas of archival material.
Well, I've always believed that since I heard about your work, I've always believed it's very important for what's coming in our planet, what the changes that are taking place and all of that. Specifically, to me, what sounds very true is the protection, the need for protection, because I know you talk about that. And also, you know, there's a certain level of information that's being allowed to the public and information that's not allowed. And in order to protect ourselves and to protect our planet and to clear, a lot of your work comes in very relevantly to for that purpose. So,
right. If I can comment on that, you know, one of the things in the Keys of Enoch, which for a long time was not accepted, was that our sun, that's a sun, S-U-N, is a variable star. And because they always felt every 11 years there would be a solar maximum and then you'd have a solar minimum, 11 years ago it would happen again. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, finally NASA actually came out and said the exact words that are in the keys. The sun is a variable star because the solar maximum has not really hit, we'll say, at this time, even though we're starting to get some serious solar flares. And these are things, when you say protection, there's protection on many levels. And
right.
One of the things taking place on this planet is these solar flares and also the weakening of the magnetic field around the planet. And we believe, because we've worked with Russian scientists who have studied the effects of magnetic fields on consciousness, and they feel when the field is weaker, then actually the consciousness gets more attuned. Now, for some people, higher, we'll say, more open-mindedness can lead to chaos. But for those who are, we'll say, more aligned and working with a heart-centered consciousness, that weakness in the magnetic fields actually can allow the consciousness to expand in greater and greater levels. So this is one aspect. And then, of course, as things are changing on the planet, we seem to be having, and I know you, we were all together at the citizens' hearing in Washington, D.C., more and more contact with other levels of intelligence, partly because of this, partly because of changes going on in the entire universe and certainly our Milky Way. We were just in Canada, and one of the things that came out on the news in Canada is that UFO sightings have actually doubled from 2011 to 2012. They don't have the results of 2013 yet, because we're still somewhere in the middle of that, and believe it or not. But from 2011 to 2012, the reports of alien sightings, or UFO sightings, I should say, vehicle sightings in the sky have actually doubled. And I think this is one of the realities that people all over the world are starting to face.
Now, if these UFOs are negative and represent a threat to Mother Earth, and this is a whole new area of the importance of space law, space diplomacy, in finding out who are the cosmic others. And this has been part of our work with some of the ex-astronauts. So when people ask the question, why are the keys so difficult, they're not difficult if you put them in the right pew or the right scientific direction. The keys are there to humble those who think they have all the scientific answers and to allow them to go into the consciousness shift towards spirituality. On the other hand, the keys, with its musical and linguistic inner teaching, open the inner resources of the mind to think out of compassion universally and to grasp the greater soul reality that we're moving into as consciousness humans who are going beyond the intellectual apparatus into contact with the realm of the absolute. And in that sense, it forces the spiritual fundamentalists to see the scientific reality of a much larger picture of an evolving divine presence. And so we move beyond polarity and duality into this pluralism that is so necessary to bring, as it were, cultures and conflict into a greater harmonic regarding the profoundness of the ancient prophetic texts.
Right, and Esperanza, you know that one of the things that the Academy, which you studied with, we have study groups throughout the country. Anyone interested can always just write, and we'll tell them if there's one in their area, or put them on our chat group if that's available. But one of the things we teach is sacred expressions used for protection. And these can be as simple as the name of Michael, for the Archangel Michael, can be used the name of Jesus, other things. But we use the Hebrew pronunciation, or sometimes the Sanskrit.
Or the Aramaic.
Or the Aramaic.
Even the Egyptian. Why? Because these were the linguistic symbols and the metaphorical tools that were used by the ancients.
And people have actually used this worldwide. We've worked a lot in South America. We've worked a lot in Africa. Oftentimes, even in Africa, when there's been change of regimes, sometimes we've taught people to use the names, and they've been completely protected. We know people who have been, really, I hate to say, held up at gunpoint. I don't want people to test this out, but, you know, if you're coming to that situation, you know, use the names, and they have protected you. It's a particular series. It's really a teaching. It's a language of light, as
we call
it.
So there's a linguistic sociology and linguistic psychology that is also in each key. It's not just purely scientific. It is also historical, it's psychological, it's sociological. All of these levels relate to what the ancients thought of as the seven dimensions or seven seals of the human consciousness.
But you don't have to live in a place like Africa or South America to need them, because sometimes when you're meditating, when you're doing prayers and people are experiencing certain types of energies or light, or say you're walking into a room and you feel bad, there's something bad about it, you just know. These names help. Clearing out houses, these people put on music, some of our CDs, and it clears the energy of the houses. We don't want to, you know, we're not selling it based on that. It's beautiful music. It's sacred music. But this is what sacred music and sacred expressions do for humanity. And we'd like to put that more out into the world.
I'd like to add to that, Desiree. It's just sorry for interrupting you, JJ, but just briefly, along the same lines, in regards to protection, I was taught by spirit to do clearing of spirits or anything in places and in people, and the pillar of light was what was taught to me. However, once I've learned the Kadosh and all of that, I use it all the time, and it's extremely, extremely powerful for removing entities.
Yes, and what I'm saying is there's a parapsychological aspect of our teaching that's very important that goes with the Book of Knowledge Keys of Enoch, and those are the cassettes or the DVDs or the CDs that are part of our life, working with leading singers, instrumentalists, singers worldwide. And I think the audience needs to know that we have had the opportunity to work with some of the most gifted singers and composers in the world, who have gone through transformational experiences with the Keys of Enoch and have brought forth the musical context of how the other cultures of the world can come together through the music of the super soul. So this is a very important aspect I want to emphasize. Rather than jumping around from subject to subject, there has to be a centering process involved here, and that is the language of light working through the seed forms of music and sacred language.
And if I can say also that our most recent CD is called Sacred Names, Sacred Codes, and we coordinated with Stephen Halpern, and of course he's famous for being the father of, we'll say, New Age music, because he understood the power of music, and it's really a great collaboration between lyrics that Dr. Hertek and I put together on sacred expressions, and Stephen's very profound notes and tones that go, behind it, and people are really enjoying it. It's available on Amazon. It's available through our website. So it's something, if people want to experience what we're talking about, that's part of it.
Yeah, I have two of your DVDs with music, and they're just wonderful to listen to. Also, I wanted to touch a little bit base, because I do want to talk about the awakening of the overself. However, I did want to also touch base on the Keys of Enoch. There is specifically one key which talks about growing back tissue and growing back limbs. 317.
317. This deals with the medicine of regeneration. In fact, this is a very important key. It's one of the more recent confirmations. We know that the director of the McGowan Institute of Regenerative Medicine and others working with the Pittsburgh School of Medicine, the Brooke Army Medical Center, et cetera, have been looking at what can stimulate the regeneration process. And this was clearly laid out in key 317. And there's been a lot of research done in this area, literally fulfilling the blueprint that is explained there in terms of the technique of how we have this ability to regenerate ourselves.
Right. So
cell by cell.
Basically, they're using this pig powder from pig intestines, and they've called it an extracellular matrix. And when we inject that to the body, it actually stimulates our own stem cells. And this is some of the most recent research, is how our own stem cells, not embryos or something like that, can be used to actually start growing back organs or helping tissues. And ultimately, they're looking at missing limbs and trying to... They can do skin, they can do muscle. Now they're working on bones. They've actually even gotten some nails, like a fingernail or toe, grow back just by stimulating stem cells. And, of course, what's very popular also with Key 317 is the whole concept of why stem cells work, because we believe our whole body is a type of grid matrix, and we call it the axiatonal lines that are within our body and also connecting us to what you mentioned earlier, this over-self reality that we're part of.
And next week you're going to have Dr. Eric Pearl on, and he will explain the wonderful ministry he has had using the healing board for the tens of thousands of healings he's done throughout the world. And so the transformational power of taking the meta language of Enoch off the page into the new sciences, the future sciences, of course, is the skillfulness of the reader, the ability to open up and understand the prose as well as the poetry of the new language of science, as well as to feel the musical love letter that God has given us, to realize that we are part of a great family of the universe, and that we as human earthlings on this little planet are now waking up to our cosmic potential and possibilities.
So the Keys of Enoch, Key 317, this is just one of the 54 in the book, not only talk about regenerating the body, but also explain how that works, how stem cells would work to go, you know, according to a type of matrix, or we'll say grid alignment that is present. Sometimes now with stem cells, they're also, and with this regenerative medicine, they're creating scaffolds, and the cells just literally grow back into the scaffold. I think they've actually made a whole bladder of a person.
They have made it, according to Dr. Robert Lanza, who is one of the leading proponents of this process at Harvard University and later at Celera.
We're part of a greater connection with the universe, and that higher connection really comes from what we consider the higher overself body or the higher light body. And we believe that the light and the wavelengths and the frequency and the vibrations of this higher matrix is what creates man as we know it. And you can take this and take it all the way into outer space. You know, I think one of the scariest things is not finding extraterrestrial intelligence out there that looks strange, like reptilians or praying mantises or grays. But what would be strange, really, is finding us in space. And I believe you will find us in space. You know, people will say the Adamic species, which means that there was a higher coding mechanism that's not only manifesting us here and now, but also similar species on other planets. That's saying a lot, and I believe that we will find it. And I think, of course, if you've followed extraterrestrial research, as you and I, Esperanza, have, many people have already found them.
So we're seeing emergence of consciousness, quantum science, psychology, and spirituality. We're going through major changes in terms of breakthroughs in so many areas of knowledge and science that we must be able to look at the challenge of either going in the direction of robotic science, where we will be secondary beings, or we will go in the area of consciousness evolution, where we will reclaim ourselves as Homo sapiens sapiens with the skills, the abilities that have been shown to the world by leading thinkers like Uri Geller or Ingo Swann or others that have worked with the great minds at Stanford Research Institute in California who've done systematic scientific study on the power of consciousness. And so this is so important because the mind and body and spirit working together have that ability of distant communication, distant healing, and all sorts of wonderful things are on the horizon, including the expression, beam me up, Scotty, if people realize that there is a higher process of putting the energies together for contact.
Right. Now, your book, The Keys of Enoch, basically are interesting because they not only reflect the past, but they also reflect the future, which is very, you know, a huge band of space-time. How does your new book, The Overself Awakened, fit into the picture of The Keys of Enoch, and how does it separate from it? I'll just share briefly my own personal experience with the over self-awakening has been very powerful because by going through the meditation, apart from the beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous images that you portray in the book that, I mean, they're just amazing. I find that as I read each of the meditations, it talks to me about my own personal experience and growth and where I am in that process and where I need to get to. So can you tell us a little bit about how it ties in with the Keys of Enoch and how it goes beyond that point as well and whatever you think is relevant?
Okay. Well, great. Well, thanks for that comment as well, or commentary. It's exactly what the book is all about. So it's called The Overself Awakening, A Guide for the Schoolhouse of the Soul. And it doesn't go beyond the keys. What it does is the keys are so multidimensional that it talks about science and realities, past, present, future, that we felt that for people, just exactly as you described yourself, who have their own personal experiences, we wanted to bring out a special book that takes the person through, we'll say, the stages of consciousness growth. And it really, even though everyone's in their own space and has their own experiences and their own realities, technically there seems to be a blueprint of consciousness growth, and we tied it back into the various concepts within the keys. In fact, there's 72 chapters, 72 pictures, 72 meditations, and sacred expressions in here, but each one is like leading up to, we'll say, that cosmic light body. And that's really the basis for the book, and I think people have found themselves, so to speak, within it and going through those experiences.
So the over-self, sometimes called the higher self, is that seat of consciousness that can be expanded, that is not localized, that is basically a non-local way of where we transcend the physical dimension and connect with the universal mind. And with that in mind, the over-self book takes us through the pictures of expanded consciousness called cosmograms or cosmic pictures, where we begin to see other geometries, other realities, and in a few words, enlarge our intellectual and spiritual vocabulary to get beyond words and pictures into a higher experience of deep communication with the universal self, that is to say, with the absolute realm.
Yes. I like I said, I find the meditations very, very inspiring, and also
if I can just read from the Keys of Enoch, Key 204,
sure.
It states, verse 25 and 26, we live in an open-ended local universe which is part of myriad universes which comprise the universal mind. Our local universe has at its center a more developed pattern of astrochemical networks and reprogramming life syntheses known as the higher evolution. The Over-Self book helps us with a new roadmap of how we connect with the higher evolution, which is that realm of higher cosmic intelligence on many levels. So we go beyond the extraterrestrial technology, which I feel personally is a threat to the human race. I feel the humans,
for the most part,
have the ability to work with the more advanced forms of intelligence that respect us, that do not manipulate us, that do not use us for medical experiments, et cetera, as you've heard in some of the documentation that was brought out recently in Washington, D.C., with
right.
the citizens' hearing. But we also have that ability to recognize that in all of the great religious and spiritual traditions, there is the teaching of the universal mind, the Godhead, that we can be part of in a positive sense of consciousness association and experience. And that does not come really through fear or negativity or parochialism, but comes through the expansive splendor of the King of Kings, the great sovereign power of the universe that we connect with in the heavens through the inner dimensions that we have within us, known as the inner tree of life.
And if I can go on a little bit more about our latest book, it is the fact that we have that, as Dr. Jack just said, within us because we are part of a greater consciousness awareness. And so the first phase in the first chapters of this book is to realize that what we see here in the physical three-dimensional reality is not the reality, that there's much more, and that we can tap into through our higher consciousness and through our over-self body really the vastness of the universe, the vastness of wisdom, the vastness of knowledge. And for the most part, we've been kept very, very limited here on planet Earth. Scientists are starting to do this. The whole movement of how fast technology has been developing, according to the Keys of Enoch, I'll move back to that book for a minute because they work together, is because there's higher levels of intelligence that are trying to move us quickly into that level of greater awareness, because we will be making contact, we will be experiencing changes, and we all need to be ready. And so we have that capacity. We actually have a higher divine capacity to know what to do, when to do it. We just need to start being aware and working. I love that, where people now, even young people, it's so exciting to me, sometimes even without studying anything from the past, they're just simply waking up, they're tuning in, they understand their place in the cosmos, and they're starting to, you know, work accordingly, that they're conscious of things, conscious of others, of how they interact. And this is all part of what we need to understand. And we can get the science, we can get the wisdom from other levels of intelligence.
But we need to have the compassion and the unconditional love to go with the science. Otherwise, we're simply back on the old paradigm level. And what we're seeing throughout the world by literally our visitation to many cultures and countries is young people waking up to restructure a global commons of a consciousness shift that is being prepared as a harbinger for what I call planetary ascension, the recognition that human beings are part of a much larger family of creation, but we must exercise compassion and coevolution if we are to move beyond the traditional aspects of science, which is just information that unfortunately does not touch the heart seriously enough to make humanity hear the cry of humanity, the cry of Mother Earth.
And that's one of the things that, surprises me, because I keep hearing that, you know, science and the need for building robots and the need for building artificial intelligence or other technologies. My understanding, based on my own personal experience, is that we are supposed to move beyond the physical building of things and more with the mind manifesting things. That is really where our power and our future leads to, based on, you know, the guidance I've received. I also wanted to ask you a little bit about, to expand a little bit on the extraterrestrial, because there is the perspective on one side that the extraterrestrials can do us no harm. They're all perfectly great and wonderful. There's another perception where there are good extraterrestrials and not so good extraterrestrials. And then there's the concept on the extreme of, you know, when you believe that all the extraterrestrials are great and wonderful, that if there are any beings out there that seem to be extraterrestrial, they're actually man-made and they have a purpose and a goal. So could you elaborate a little bit on that? Because I think there's a little bit of confusion as to where the truth lies, because we do have the fallen hierarchies. They play a very important role, and just as they can, you know, we have the good guys per se, you know, the higher superior extraterrestrials that are intended in helping us to move forward in the planetary ascension process. There are also the fallen hierarchies which want to keep us behind in this three-dimensional, four-dimensional world of linear thinking and things like that. So could you elaborate a little bit more based on your work?
Well, we couldn't agree more with what you just said, that if you just look around you on this planet, you see both the positive and the negative. It's not just this planet. That's the main thing. It's actually the entire local universe has the same, we'll say, makeup of situations. That's the sad thing. That doesn't mean that there isn't a planet somewhere that's, you know, has higher consciousness, that the people work in harmony, and everyone is in great consciousness alignment. But if you look at the whole universe, you're going to get the spectrum of what you just described. And yes, because we feel beyond the extraterrestrial are what we call ultra-terrestrial levels of intelligence. And these ultra-terrestrials are really what's behind the scenes. And some of them are usually positive, but there is the local guys, we'll say, the guys that want to kind of keep power to themselves and that are manipulating certain situations on the planet. And we believe even the whole concept of wars and various things are not only coming from us. We can certainly neutralize the negativity if we work together, but there's a certain energy that's constantly we're having to fight against, powers in high places, as they say in biblical terms. So there is that level of, we'll say, lesser intelligence but powerful intelligence that likes to keep the negative levels of reality present. And we always have to be dealing with that, and unfortunately also on an extraterrestrial level as well.
The ancient Sanskrit text, the Mahabharata, speaks of the wars in space in ancient times. The Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, also speak of the contention and rivalry between forces of the fallen Elohistic, the fallen angels. That's carried over into the book of Revelation in the New Testament. But rather than dwell on the negative, let's put emphasis on the positive, because, you know, there are great experts in many governments who have spent over 60-some years looking at this question, which is why it's been sub rosa, been largely not talked about, because it's quite shocking, as we found in Brazil and other countries where we have physical evidence of human mutilation and also the taking of genetic precious body materials for experiments far beyond our traditional concept of a smooth transition from the human evolution to a higher evolutionary presence. In so many words, the keys of Enoch tell us that, you know, we have a personal ego, that it has to be brought into harmony with those in the universe that respect us. that respect our great prophetic traditions, that give us science in the light, not in the dark, that we can work in a type of coevolutionary partnership with, so that we can make this transition work into multidimensional space and time. And this is really the essence for ongoing fulfillment of consciousness, to be one with continuity and change within the evolutionary continuum, in the recognition that we are free beings, but we also are responsible beings that must make these decisions for ourselves. It cannot come from governments as such, because many of these contact events coming, I believe, in the near future will require everyone to develop his or her own spirituality that's based upon truth, compassion, and higher wisdom. And with that as a base, we can see, as it were, our greater blueprint taking us into the cosmic others who do love us and want to work with us in this great transition.
And I believe that's where we're heading. And this is so important because we are heading into contact, whether it's extraterrestrial or ultra-terrestrial. And we have to be prepared. We have to have discernment, on one hand, to realize that not everything out there is great, but we also have to have the knowledge so we can meet them at least more closely on a plane that we can understand where they're coming from and what the realities is in the greater universe. This is so important. And even on the individual level, going back to our work with the Overself Awakening, when people are meditating, when people are thinking about things, they're starting to tune in. And I believe all this goes back to even the changes we're experiencing on the planet. We're starting to be able to have greater insights and to get this information. And then the question is, how do we use it? What do we do with it? How do we work together? How do we share? How do we help humanity? How do we help the planet? So all of us have that ability to tune in, to share, to get infinite wisdom, infinite knowledge. But the most important thing is that cannot really be given to us as a humanity if we're going to misuse it.
Right. We're getting close to the end of the show. However, I would like to talk, because I know you travel a lot because of your knowledge and expertise. You talk in a lot of different places, including in front of the United Nations and many other places. But I know you also travel to sacred places, and you do work there. Would you like to briefly share a little bit of what your work entails and how that is part of the process of the ascension and how it all ties together?
Yes, we try to activate the sacred areas throughout the world through meditation, through prayers for peace, and also through the use of sacred language to raise consciousness of those in those particular areas to work in a greater network of consciousness development and responsibility. And that way, we emphasize not one temple or tradition. We realize that we are the temple of understanding, bringing all temples, all churches, all mosques, synagogues, places of sacredness into a holy resonance. The ancients called the Tree of Life, the Etz Chaim. And so doing, we raise consciousness more directly. We see the planetary unity visually, vicariously, and also we emphasize the need that there will be peace prevailing on Earth and in the heavens. We open ourselves up to the cosmic antenna that is usually in the sacred geometry of these various regions, from Nepal and Tibet to places in the Near East and the Central and South American countries, to this enormous change that's about to take place. So let us pray for light upon all areas, especially Egypt and Syria, that we may be positive transducers of higher change.
And if you want to see a little bit about our work, we were actually at Chichen Itza on December 21st, 2012. We also had a conference December 22nd and 23rd in Cancun, so which we organized as the Academy for Future Science, so we knew that it wasn't the end of the world. But if you just go into YouTube and do Chichen Itza, HERTAC, you will come up with the experience we had there, and also some of our sacred expressions are sung at the very end of that film. So it shows you some of our work. We're also heading very shortly, I think in exactly about a month, to Bosnia, to the Bosnian pyramids, and also to Majagori. It's right in the same area, and we'll see what we feel about the Bosnian pyramids. It'll be our first time there, and also to experience, we'll say, that power of the Virgin site, which is incredible as well. So that's where we're headed now, and really appreciate the time we were able to share together.
If I could close with just a quote from the Keys. This, again, is Key 204, verse 34. During the present space-time overlap, there will be a passing of one energy universe within another as our planetary mind crosses the present electromagnetic density threshold and is raised to the next electromagnetic orbit of the universal mind. At this point, we as sons and daughters of man become the sons and daughters of light and transplant our consciousness light into other regions of our local universe. We realize that we are the divine image at work, and we are the divine similitude as an energy field of blessing for humanity. So those of you who are interested, please follow us with our new music with Stephen Halpern and other musicians throughout the world. Go to our website, www.keysofenoch.org or futurescience.org or any one of our other websites in other languages. And really the great plethora of music for the greater transcendent reality we're moving into as we manifest the super soul, the great spirit of unity that the divine has given us at this stage of human evolution.
Great. Thank you so much, both of you, and please feel free when you want to share something to, you know, you're welcome back on the show. And everyone, talk to you in a couple of weeks, and have a wonderful week, everyone.